Good morning, good morning. So glad to see you guys here. Welcoming everybody. This is great. This is great. So I bet you guys are wondering, how did I get here? All right? I am too. Same question. How did I get here? Well, I wanted to start off by saying that, you know what? There was back in 2017, there was like a defining moment in my life that completely just changed my world, changed my family's world, all that kind of stuff. And in that moment, I recognized that the Lord was the only thing that was going to be able to get us through that. And that was at a time when I lost my daughter instantly, and sister and friend and all of these things. And it was really rough. But I will tell you this, because of my faith, it got me through. It got me through all of that. And so that is one of the reasons that got me here, for sure, because it was in that time that I totally submitted to him. I totally submitted to him, and I love that my sister Sherry is here today, and she was the one that was constantly always saying, I got a seat for you. Come on to worship. Come on to worship. We've got an opening for a guitar player. We need Charles up here playing the guitar. We need to do all these things. And so there was all this stuff that was happening. And so it was just really cool how the Lord was just working in all of these different things. I can't even tell you the conversations I had with Pastor Tim. Oh my gosh, he was probably like, Naomi wants to see me again. And again, it was like over and over and over and over. But all of that to be said is that, I mean, these are just some of those things. And then, you know, they have this like trip that was heading out. They were going to Kenya, right? So we got Pastor Tim is gone, Pastor David's gone. And so, you know, there was another opportunity. But in all of that, this is also Preach Her Sunday. And Preach Her Sunday is something that the Church of God was doing. And this is like huge for us as a whole. Because back in 2003, the Church of God at the Assembly, back that summer when we went to that conference, they passed through what they called the JET Force. It was a Justice and Equality Task Force that they wanted more women in the pulpit, that we were going to say, if we truly believe as the Church of God that we want women in leadership and we want them in the pulpit, we need to do something about it. And so in that time frame, they passed this initiative, this movement, if you will, of getting to this point. And so that is another huge reason. And so it is awesome that I am able to be up here. And our Christians Women Connection as well, too, they have a huge history and line of faith of women in ministry as well. And so just being a part of that just kind of helps to see what's going on here. And I will tell you, I remember the first time I told Ken that I wanted to go into ministry, I felt that the Lord was calling me to do this. And he was like, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that. And so in that, you know, we just became through, you know, just praying through it and everything else. And then it became, okay, yeah, let's do this. And so, I mean, the support of him, the support of my family, the support of friends, all of those things. And so I am excited to see where the Lord's taken me. And if you don't know, I want to share also that I'm going to be starting Leadership Focus. So I am going to be licensed and credentialed with the Church of God. So that's just another way, right? Thank you so much. What a celebration there. I'm so excited for that. So yeah, so there's like some really good things that the Lord is just doing. And I tell you what, it all goes back to, I knew the Lord, but I wasn't walking with the Lord, right? So I knew the Lord and he got me down. He just broke me down, and I just said yes. And so here it is. So be careful. Just a little pre-thing there. Just be careful what's going on there. But so all that to be said is that I trust him. I trust that he has a plan for my life. I have to trust that he has a plan for your life. And I trust that he absolutely has a plan for what is going to be said and received today. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, so much for this day. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God, we know that when you woke us up this morning, that you gave us breath. And in that breath, you gave us purpose. And so, God, we want to carry out that purpose that you have given to us today, Lord. We don't want to wait until whenever. We want to do it right now. Because, God, we know that your mercies are new every morning and nothing is guaranteed. So, Lord, we just ask that in this time together that my words are your words, Lord, and that we just... we just have this time together to glorify and to honor you. And it's in your most holy and most precious name we pray. And all the saints said, amen. Amen. Thank you so, so much. Okay, so here we go. Y'all know, if y'all know anything about me, I absolutely love fashion, right? So I have, oh my goodness gracious. So we're going to take it back a few years, right? So it did not start just here recently, for anybody that knows me. It started a long time ago. So back in the 70s, that was me. Aw, so sweet. So I know, right? So there were so many things that happened. I loved country western stuff. I loved getting dressed up. I love hats. I love all of those things. In the 80s, oh my goodness, neon, all the things that were happening. I don't know what it is up with those plastic neon green things I had in my hair, but somebody said that was cool, and I thought I would do it. A feather in my hair, why not? You know, all the things. So there's always something going on. But there was a time I remember I was going to Astroworld with my family, with my dad and my stepmom, and I wore two pairs of socks. Right? Because that was cool. And I had to have alternating colors. I had like pink on top and white on bottom and then white on top and pink on. Thank you. Thank you for the confirmation there. It was happening. It was a thing. So yeah, so I was wearing the double socks. It was all cool. I was hot. It was crazy. Fashion before comfort, all of those things. Now I'm a few years later, so fashion before comfort has kind of changed down just a little bit, not too much, but just a little bit, but not too much. The hills aren't as high as they used to be. That was a Renaissance Festival picture. I was super hot that day. I remember that just because of that shirt. It did not breathe. It was linen. Why would I wear that? Anyway, it doesn't matter. So 80s, I was wearing all the socks. 90s was all about Rocky Mountain jeans and country western stuff and boots and hats and all that. Oh my goodness, I even forgot the 90s. Yeah, let's look at the 90s there. That was some crazy hair and some. See, I even go back to hats then. It didn't stop. I love my hats. So, you know, just all of that. And it's so just ties. Do y'all remember when ties were cool for girls to wear? Ties and silk shirts. That was awesome. So I am from Houston, Texas. I was born and raised here. So I went to Waltrip High School. Yes, in the house. Thank you very much. I got some Waltrip graduates as well. So yeah, I just, you know, have really embraced what has been thrown at me. And if y'all know, before I got into ministry, I had a resale shop. And so there was a lot of fashion going on there. And then I moved over to Lane Bryant. And I'm so excited to see a couple of my fellow associates here with me today in the congregation worshiping with us. So it's really cool that we were, you know, able to do that kind of stuff. And I just, I found it really cool that, you know, just over the years that things just kind of happen and progress that way. And so 30 years later, I still love dressing up. I love my bling. I love my hats. I love all that kind of stuff. Y'all know for Christmas and whatever, I can show up in some sequins and rock those because why not, right? But most importantly, not just how I dress then, how I dress now, but how do we dress, how do I dress for our spiritual life, right? And that's what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to jump into some scripture here. So we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Say full armor. The full armor of God. It doesn't say one piece. It doesn't say just pick and choose or any of that kind of stuff. It says the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Say schemes. That's right, schemes. For the struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world. It's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on your full armor. Say full armor. The full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Say firm. That's right. Stand firm. Then the belt of truth be buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted to the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up your shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows that the arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray. Say pray. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with, that's right, all kinds of prayers and requests with this in mind, and be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. So before we break this down, I want to give you a little bit of background. So Ephesians was written by Paul, right? And he was writing this letter to the church of Ephesus while he was in prison. And so when he was in prison, think about that. You know, I think about prison like today in 2024, a lot different than prison in Paul's day, right? Prison 2024, we've got some, we can still get our education. We can still read. We can have, you know, breaks to go out and take some, you know, athletic time. We can do all those things. I'm not saying that prison today is easy by any stretch of the imagination. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. But what I'm saying is think about what Paul was in when he was in prison. We're talking like dirt floors. We're talking, I mean, just really, really crazy conditions that nobody wants to be in, right? And so he is like guarded by these Roman guards constantly. And he is still in this time frame of being in prison that he is still being, he's still wanting to write letters of encouragement. So while we're just taking this bit of scripture here, I would encourage you to just go back and read Ephesians because it is nothing but just like so much encouragement. And when you sit there and you think what he was in and what he was doing at that time, that is just really huge, right? Just really huge. All right, so I've already lost my spot. I'm glad that y'all are like giving me some grace here. Okay. Thank you. So the Bible teaches that the God has given us some very mighty and powerful weapons, right? So we are able to use what he has given us. And we had talked last week about spiritual warfare. And so when we start talking about the armor of God here, say full armor. The full armor of God, that is what is available to us, and it's through the strength of the Lord that we have that. So every believer has that. So if you are a believer of Christ, that you are one of his sons and daughters, that you have access to every single piece that he has given to us there. So, and also in Ephesians 6:13-5, you know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote to the church and he said that we must put on the full thing. So again, it's not picking and choosing. And we want to have that strength that the Lord provides for us. So it's this protective coating, right? So when we're going out in our day, it's not, you know, I think of it as, you know, another way of getting dressed, right? We were talking about some of those things earlier. And so while we can have that picture and we can say, okay, this is what I'm going to put on, it's more of our actions. It's more of what we're doing. It's more of the choices that we make, the people that we talk to, our lifestyle, our just who we are. And there's so much there. So I want you to think of an orange, right? Okay, so an orange has this outer coating peel to it, and if you were to peel it down, like you're going to eat it, and you were to, not that we would want to do this, but just go with me on this for a second here. If you were to drop it into, say, a bowl of water, what would happen to that orange once you take that peel off? It would sink. It would sink down, right? So without that protective coating, it just drops, right? So the cool thing is if you leave that coating on it, it floats, it rises to occasion, and it just sits there. And so I just want to encourage you that, you know what, when you're thinking about the armor of God and you're thinking about leaving your home, you're thinking about leaving your work, you're thinking about leaving this place, starting your day, starting your week, all of those kind of things, is that if we don't have that protective coating, if we don't have that armor that he has given to us, thank you very much, if we don't have that, then we're going to sink. And we don't want to sink. We want to rise to the occasion, right? Absolutely, 100%. So just be mindful of that. So before we dive into each of these pieces here, just grasp that this is not something that's easy, like putting on a pair of jeans or any of that kind of stuff. I mean, you have to be intentional about this. Again, it goes back to your character and different things that are happening there. So the first piece is the belt of truth. And it says, stand firm. Say firm. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. And when we stand firm buckled around us, we can trust that we will be that we will have that truth that only comes from him, and that our victory is not been, we don't need to fight for the victory, we need to fight from victory, right? So we know that in truth, whenever we have that belted around us and we're standing firm in him, that we don't have to like think that we have to go out and be on the offensive all the time. It's like we just have to know that we are going to win because that victory has already been there for us. Amen. So I find again that word stand is very interesting. Say stand. Stand. So we go into battle, and you know, the first thought is like, rushing into battle, right? To just, you know, going headstrong. And again, like I was said, we don't have to like fight it first thing, but we need to stand there in his truth. And we need to be able to recognize what he is saying and what he has for us. So we need to know the truth about God. We need to know the truth about our salvation. We need to know the truth about sin. We need to know the truth about what he wants us to hear and how we're able to do that. And so we need to truthfully live our lives, right? We need to put out there, we need to put out that truth that others see. We need to be that light. I was talking to somebody earlier about that. We need to be the light in a dark place. And so there is so much there that we are the truth. We are the light, and we need to be able to show that to others. And that is super important when it comes to that belt of truth. So the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." So there are so many things that are going on in this world. We can get caught up in social media. We can get caught up in conversations. We can get caught up in maybe tearing each other down. We can get caught up in the way we're riding out on the road, or road rage, or all these different things are happening. But if we are not standing firm in his truth and in our truth through him, then we'll give a foothold to the devil, right? He'll be able to get in there. And like it says there in 1 Peter, that he is waiting. He is just waiting for us. So what we need to do in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Do your best to be present, to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Amen. So what does that mean if we're going to correctly handle the word of truth? That tells me we need to be in the scripture, right? We need to have it in our heart. We need to be able to memorize it. We need to be meditating on it. And if we don't have that, how can we stand on that? How can we say that we know the truth if we're going off of what others are telling us? I'm going to be a little transparent here with you guys, and I actually didn't plan to say this, but I will. I grew up Southern Baptist, and I love my family and all of the way that my family brought me to church and all of that other kind of stuff. There was a lot of truth. There was a lot of truth there, but it wasn't until I was older that I was able to read the scripture on my own, that I was able to hear what the Lord had for me in the way that I was to understand it. And you know what, at that time in my life, I got what I needed, right? And you know, and every time it changes, because praise God, it's the living word, right? It's fluid, it's living, it's all of those things. And so with that being said, we just need to know what that word is, because we need to correctly handle the word of God. All right, so the next piece is the breastplate of righteousness. And that righteousness is of Christ. It's not the righteousness of us. It's his righteousness, right? And so we know in scripture, and I didn't even have this one here and here, but you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. You know, we're seeking his righteousness, right? So it's not of us, it's of him. It's of his goodness. It's of what he has done. It is what of who he is, his goodness, his purity, his perfectness, his all of those things. And we have to seek that. And so when we talk about that breastplate of righteousness, a breastplate back in the day with the Roman soldiers, it went from like the top here all the way down, right? And then it also covered their backs as well. And so there was a whole lot going on, and it protected those vital organs. It protected the heart. It protected, you know, all those different things. We didn't want anything to pierce that, right? And so, you know, when you're thinking of them going into battle, that piece was huge. And so while figuratively speaking, you know, we are actually putting on this, you know, I even think about like a bulletproof vest or something like that, right? I mean, you know, you want to have that protection. Well, you do that because you want to protect those vital organs, right? And you want to protect your heart, because if your enemy really wants to do something to you, I mean, the first place to go is right to the heart, right? I mean, that's just going to knock you out, right? And so the devil does the same thing. He knows exactly what is going to get us. And so if we are not properly dressed and properly clothed and properly praying through the things, and we're going to talk about that here in a minute, how all of these pieces all work together with prayer, that they've got to be sealed in that. That is a huge, huge piece of that there. So I'm going to talk about, here I'm going to do 1 Thessalonians 5:8. It says, "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on the faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." And when we're talking about that breastplate again, it's our faith in that, that we have faith that, you know what, the Lord is going to take care of us there. So when the devil, our accuser, comes, that we don't have to worry about that because we have that breastplate on. So the next piece is the shoes of peace. And so this refers to our assurance and salvation and the peace of God, that God's peace that surpasses all understanding. So this peace that he has. So when you think of shoes, you think of something that you need to be ready. You need to be comfortable to walk in and all that kind of stuff. And when I was looking into some of this before, it was like the shoes back in the time of Paul and with the Roman soldiers, they were actually sandals. They weren't like, I mean, I think of, you know, like tennis shoes or whatever, get my shoes on, that kind of stuff. But it's not. They were actually sandals. And those sandals had like spikes on the bottom of them. And so that was there to help to grip them to where they were so that they wouldn't lose their footing. They wouldn't slide. They wouldn't fall down a gravel road or a rock or, you know, whatever. I say road, you know, just all those things. I mean, they had some substance to what they had on their feet to help them to stand firm. So stay firm. That's right. So stand firm. So we want to also be ready. So we want to be ready. We want to be quick. We want to be sure-footed. We want to be able to respond to the subtle attacks of the devil because he doesn't always come full-fledged on, right? I mean, he does, but he doesn't always, right? So it's like little things. It's like little things of doubt. It's like little things of, you know what, you're not good enough. You know, you need to figure this out, you know, or you're, you know what? Let me tell you, one of my biggest ones was, Naomi, really? Is that really where you need to be up here on this platform today? Is that really what you need to be doing? I'm not going to lie. It was a big thing, but it was like, you know what, Lord, I know he's got me. And so, you know, get behind me, Satan, right? So there's all of those things. So Isaiah 52:7, it says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation and say, Zion, your God reigns. So again, our feet need to be ready for the gospel of peace because the devil, he does want to knock us down. He does want to make us stumble, and we need to be ready to move whenever the time calls. So 1 Peter 3:15, it says, always be ready to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. And so we need to be ready. We need to be ready for whatever he calls us to do. The shield of faith, in addition to taking up the shield of faith, which, you know, you can extinguish all the flaming arrows that the evil one is throwing at us. This one is like so exciting to me because you think about all the things that are thrown at us, right? And we need to, I mean, I like have that visual of like having this, you know, big, huge shield and being behind it. And you know what? We talk about how important this is for us because it tells us that we need to put on the armor, God. I need to put on the armor, God. I can't put it on for you. You've got to put it on for yourself. But I will tell you what, if you were having a day when I can recognize that somebody close to me does not have it on, you know what? I got my shield and you know what? I'm going to say, come on, let's get behind me. I've got this. You know, we're going to duke it out together and those kind of things. So we have to be able to be ready for those darts. And so, you know, some of those things, you know, that he could throw at us that I was just talking about a minute ago of, you know, maybe gossip or maybe even stopping the church from growing. You know, we talk about, you know, wanting to multiply, that is part of the mission and vision of HFC is to be disciples that make disciples and then to multiply. You know, those are some darts that the devil can throw at us and say, y'all aren't ready for this. Y'all are good. Y'all are good. Y'all are comfortable. Y'all got a good thing going here. This is all good. But where do we need to be? We need to be out there, right? And so we need to be able to just be comfortable in what is thrown at us, and we need to be ready. Those darts could be things such as destroying your marriage, your kids wanting to rebel against you. You know, I think of being younger, thinking that, you know, I wasn't good enough and I didn't look good enough. I wasn't invited to all the cool things. Another side story is that I loved athletics. I loved to run. I loved long distance running. And in that, there was a time that I ran with some girls that were cheerleaders and drill team and that kind of stuff. That was the cool crowd. What I did was not cool. That it just wasn't. Running wasn't a cool thing. But I felt so left out because I wasn't a cheerleader and I wasn't in drill team. But I wasn't going to let them win. And I went and tried. Sherry's laughing at me. I wasn't going to let them win. because I wanted to prove to them that I could do exactly what they were doing as well. So I tried out for cheerleading. I tried out for drill team. I made it. Did I stick to it? Nope, because I wanted to run. But I wanted to prove to them that I too could do the dances, I could do all the things, and I could, you know, sit there with them. So in that shield of faith is what I'm trying to tell you, is that when we have those things that the devil tells us that we're not good enough, or that we're falling short, or you know what, you need to be over here, or whatever that looks like, we need to be able to hold that up and to just to block those things that will not prosper in our life. So the helmet of salvation, it says, take the helmet of salvation. It doesn't say, wait until it's given to you. It doesn't say, you know, just, you know, here it is. As a, you know, it says, take it, right? So that word take is strong. So say take. We want to take the helmet of salvation. And so whenever we do that, we need to make sure that we are mindful as to what exactly salvation means to us. And so that day that we accepted Christ, we took salvation in our life. He gave us that invitation. He opened our hearts to it. We said yes to him. But in that, every single day that we are putting on the helmet of salvation and we're taking that, we need to realize that just that day, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 5 days ago, 5 minutes ago, whatever that was, when you said yes to following the Lord, that it is still there. And so I think of this helmet, right? And so a helmet, what does a helmet do? It blocks things out, right? So I think about, and I don't know a lot about football, but I'm gonna throw this out here, is that in these helmets, I've been told that there are now speakers in them or something like that, that like people can communicate with the quarterback and tell them what to do. I think that is like totally crazy. But I think about that helmet of salvation being like another way that the Lord can just talk to me, right? So it's like, I'm going to block all these other things out. I'm going to block out the distractions of the devil. I'm going to block out the things that have to do with maybe some mental health stuff, maybe some depression, maybe some I'm not good enough, maybe some doubt, maybe some fear, maybe some different things that are just not where the Lord wants us to be, right? He wants us to prosper. And so in that helmet there, we just really need to grasp what that protection looks like, right? That protection that he has for our heads. So the sword of the spirit is the word of God. And so we talked about a little bit earlier that we definitely need to study it. We need to memorize it. We need to be in it. We need to have it in our hearts and all of those things. And so, thinking about a sword again, my first initial thought was a sword was like, you know, you pull out this big long sword, right? And it just like goes forever. And, you know, you keep people at a distance. Well, my understanding from back when Paul was writing this and he was seeing these Roman soldiers, the sword was more of a dagger, right? And so it was short. And so when something is short, what is happening when you're fighting is that person is getting closer to you. So you're not keeping them more at an arm's width away from you. You're not like fencing, if you will, but a dagger sword is like here. And that person is like right on you. And so you've got to be able to fight and to be able to protect yourself and those kind of things. So when you think of this, the sword of the Spirit being his word, is that it's got to be close to you, because it's not just like it's, and there are times, don't get me wrong, that you do see it coming. You see it coming a little bit further, right? But sometimes those schemes, say schemes. Those schemes of the devil, they are not necessarily always far out that we see them. It's not until they get here, because they're subtle, right? Because those schemes is something that is planned. I mean, he doesn't just get up and say, okay, this is what's going to happen. But he's planning things to get us to where we are, to really to just work on us and to really just hinder what we've got going on for what the Lord has for us. But so that sword of the word is the sword of the Spirit is something that we need to keep close to us. And so I just want to encourage you that is a huge piece. So wrapping this all up together, we want to do it all in prayer, right? And so that last verse of the scripture there is, and in prayer in the Spirit on all occasions, say all occasions. With all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be alert as always and be praying for the Lord's people. And that was verse 18. So in that prayer, we just want to make sure as we are putting on this armor of God and we are actively putting on the belt of truth, we're putting on his righteousness on the, in the breastplate of righteousness. We're putting on the shoes of peace. We're putting on the helmet of salvation. We've got the shield of faith. We've got the helmet of salvation, and we've also got the sword of the Spirit. Is that we need to be praying for all of that, right? So that is a huge, huge, huge piece. And again, it says we must use all of it. Say must. Full armor. We yes have the full armor. So we can't pick and choose. You can't do it for somebody else. You got to do it for self. You got to have the whole entire thing together. All right. So I'm going to pray for you guys. Most kind and heavenly Father, thank you that you have made it possible for us to be strong in your mighty power and to stand against all schemes of the devil. Protect us with every piece of your armor, Lord. Father, help us to fasten your belt of truth around our waist, that we may be centered in your truth. By your power, enable us to walk in your truth and give us no place for deception or lies of our defeated enemy. As we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we praise you that you cover us. Guard our hearts, Father. Strengthen and protect us in most valuable places in our lives. As we put on the shoes of peace, we choose to stand on firm foundation of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we cast out any and every lie of the enemy that would cause us to take our eyes off of you. We pray that we will be ready to share your hope, your truth, and your life, and the good news of Jesus Christ with the others. Yes, yes. We take on the shield of faith in your name and extinguish every dart and arrow thrown by the enemy, which would scheme to take us down spiritually, physically, mentally, or emotionally. We lift up this shield against every arrow deflected at us and our families, our businesses, and everything that in every aspect of our lives. We put on the helmet of salvation. We pray that you, O Lord, protect our minds from thoughts that could lead us astray. Transform our minds by the power of your word, so as we think of things that are pure, noble, just, and overflow with the hope and power of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we bind and refuse all depressed, despairing, and defeated thinking. Finally, Lord, we take up the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, your word. We pray for insight, wisdom, revelation, to use your word skillfully against every scheme of the devil. Thank you that your word on your lips has the power to defeat every attack of the enemy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for equipping us with everything we need to win our battles. We praise that you will protect us with your full armor. We claim your promise that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And in the mighty, most, and holy, and precious name of Jesus, all the saints said, amen. Amen. That's right. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. So before we wrap up today, I got a couple of questions for you. So our first question is, whose armor are you wearing today? Yours own or God? That's right. Amen. So as you're thinking through these things, you know what? Let's really kind of dig into that and, you know, be intentional about what we're putting on. So how will you dress for the occasion this week and for the rest of your life? What are you going to be putting on? What are you going to be wearing when you're suiting up for battle? You've got all these different things going on. So what are you going to be dressing in? Not just piece by piece, but what? The full armor? The full armor. That's right. And how can you help others suit up for battle? So that's super important, is that, you know what, sometimes we just need a little bit of extra encouragement. We need others to help us and to come alongside of us. And so, you know what, you may need to help some others. You may need to recognize, hey, you know, we might need to do this together, and that is okay. And you know what, even for yourself, you might need some help. There is nothing wrong with saying, hey, help me out today. Call on somebody to pray with you. Call for somebody to reach out to you. So I just want to thank you guys so much, and I just want to pray for you again, and we'll close out. Father God, again, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you that you are present, you are good, you are all over this, and God, we want to give you, of course, all the praise and all the glory and all the honor, and we just love you and we thank you, and it's in your most holy and most precious name we pray. Amen.